Ms. Romero, the Honorable Luis Quiñones is going to be the lead on your hearing this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay, ma'am, first of all, I want to be clear on something. You checked the box for an interpreter. Your English sounds good. Do you need an interpreter?
No, sir. I just had brain surgery in February, so I get confused, so I probably did that on accident. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, no, no problem. We just wanted to make sure that if you needed one, that we could ask DOC perhaps for someone to translate. But do you feel comfortable enough to go through this hearing right now?
Absolutely, sir. English is my first language. I just didn't have rehabilitation, so everything was good, not up to par.
Well, please let me know if I need to speak slower or if you need some understanding on an issue, okay, ma'am?
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Socorro Consuelo Romero, 257-284.
Thank you, ma'am, and good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on June 29th, 2018. Is that correct, Ms. Romero?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you, are you representing yourself today, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. As you can see on the video conference screen, to my far right, at the opposite side of the bench, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed acting board chairman, the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Next to me is Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Luis Quiñones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Okay, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Ms. Romero and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I swear.
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Romero, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two, deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And I will explain to you now, if you haven't been through this process, there is a separate vote that passes from the first phase to the second phase. So if we continue to move on after the first phase, do not be alarmed. It is part of the process of the hearing. When I read the allegation to you, or the allegations, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections. We can talk about it, but keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I believe so.
Okay. I will begin the first phase of the hearing by reading the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse, in the criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by the use of methamphetamine on or about May 16, 2017, for the task GCMS lab report dated May 19, 2017. Ms. Romero, is this true or false?
This is absolutely true, sir.
Pardon me. Thank you. Allegation number two. Violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at Vibre on August 18, 2017, as verbally directed on August 18, 2017. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Ms. Romero, is this true or false?
This is absolutely true, sir.
Thank you. And allegation number three, violation of condition number four, as demonstrated by a failure to complete the RCBM program on or about August 18, 2017, as directed. Ms. Romero, is this true or false?
That's true also, sir.
Thank you. Based on Ms. Romero's admission, I move to find her delinquent as she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision and that she may have or have lapsed in her criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Ms. Rittenhouse. Ms. Romero, just give me a moment to fill out some paperwork. And we will, and we will continue with the second phase of your hearing. Okay, ma'am, we are going to continue with phase two, and it is during the second phase of the hearing that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our in-house community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, ma'am?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Mr. Turner.
Ms. Romero was released from ADC custody on 9-7-2016 and arrested on 4-7-2018 by Mesa PD. No new charges. She was returned back to ADC custody on 4-7-2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11-22-2018. With 232 abscondes. Current conviction, 2006, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2007, criminal possession of four-year device, 1 year. 2009, commitment C, count one, shoplifting, 6 years, 6 months. 2009, commitment C, count two, dangerous drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2010, commitment D, theft means of transportation, 8 years. 2009, commitment E, count one, dangerous drug violation, 4 years, 6 months. No prior convictions. This is her first term at ADC with a CUIR score of 2-1. She has a mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 3. No STG information, no prior terms of supervision. Disciplinary is minimal with promoting contraband and false reporting noted. Other arrest, 2003, theft means of transportation in Colorado, unknown the outcome. 2014, aggravated DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. She has a GV score of G1, V1.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Ms. Romero. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections to live with your aunt at 6804 West Morrow Drive, Glendale, Arizona. And then you went through an address change on October 1st, 2016. You were approved to live with a friend at 4010 North 13th Way in Phoenix. You moved from that residence without a documented reason and without your parole officer's prior authorization. In January 2017, you were approved for RCBM at Vibre in Glendale. You were discharged on February 21st, 2017 for positive UAs and disrespect. On February 21st, 2017, you were approved to reside at Skelly House in Phoenix. On April 26th, 2017, you were approved to live with a friend in Goodyear, Arizona. And in August 18, 2017, you were directed to establish residence at Vibre, and you did not report. And this would suggest This was about the time that you went missing from community supervision. So for the 232 days that you're missing, where were you living?
Well, if we can go back, because I have the same paperwork, and I can just, like I said, I had my brain surgery, but I wrote down what I could remember. My brain surgery was in February of this year. So, on the V-Ray, you can get the police reports from the Glendale PD. The reason why I didn't go back to that halfway house, and there's no, I'm not trying to give you any excuses. This is why. A girl was raped while I was there. She was raped by another lady who did 15 years. The lady who was operating the house and the house across the street at the time asked if I could run a type of interference, because the girl who raped the other girl and all the PD at Glendale, this is all police reported, took them 4 hours to get there. So I had a relationship with her in terms of doing 10 years with her. She was coming back with some people and she was going to mess up the house. Whatever. This is another reason. Because there was a man found outside of the door. This is also a Glendale PD police report. The doors wouldn't lock at the halfway house. The windows wouldn't lock at the halfway house. Okay, so what I did was I brought to light to the CEO of that particular halfway house, I had a knife under my bed. I'm going to be completely honest with you, and that's in clear violation right there. So they were really upset with me for bringing light to the situation of the security issues. That is why I didn't report back, along with the situation of I lost a baby in April. I haven't dealt with that, and that's not excuses. I'm telling you what was going on in my life at this time. So I had a lot of stress, and where I was for the astounding amount of days was I was staying with different friends. I had accountability up, I believe, until, I'm looking at this, it says 6/14/17. It was not my day, I went and dropped, and I dropped clean. I have 9 positives, 1 diluted, and 3 diluted, and I'm just saying, I have no excuse for any of this. I did what I told you I did, and the charges that were alleged against me are true. I did not report back to that same halfway house that in February 21, 2017 kicked me out of. I went there to Scally House, completed their program, passed every drug test, because the security risk was not there, because we had a gated community with locked doors. Now, does that give me an excuse? Absolutely not. I don't have one, and I'm not going to try to give you, gentlemen and lady, any today. I also would like to bring to light just the simple situation that I got 8 years sentenced concurrent for all of the charges, and you know, I deserved every single day, and I did the best I could while I was incarcerated to become a productive member of society. I never seen internet, I never seen Facebook, it was like the equivalent of me being like a newborn dropped into cyberspace. My living condition for the first residence and leaving was my jobs weren't good enough for my aunt. I had 2 part-time jobs. The lady that was my parole officer at the time was very awesome. The parole people helped me out. They understood when I lost the baby. They were very, very accommodating. I chose to make the wrong decision. However, I was not one judged out, because you guys have, you know, futures and stuff. My brain surgery, I never had rehabilitation for, so I'm kind of all over the place. But this is the best thing that could have happened to me because I didn't care about much after that.
Okay, ma'am, may I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any support outside of the Department of Corrections in the community?
A gentleman came from the parole office, and his name was Jerry. I didn't get his last name. I have to write everything down, sir. I'm sorry, my short term's fried. He asked me when I came to you today if you could look up the notes from a senior, Charles Rich. He's one of the senior parole officers. I've been trying to get an interstate compact to Colorado. I have an awesome family support system. So during the midst of all this chaos, I have been trying for 7 months, and I'm not going to lie, I messed up. I have no excuse, but the only thing that really helped was getting back on track and coming back here.
Ma'am. You made reference to having some sort of brain surgery. I don't want to make it too personal, but did you get in an accident or something?
I had a full craniotomy because I had 22 ounces of fluid on my brain, and it was because I fell in the shower February 14th. I didn't go to the hospital until the 22nd of February this year. It was bad, but I was just so stressed. I didn't know which way to go. I needed to get this situation handled with you. My son graduated in May. So my big idea of thinking was get them to May, I'd never been in his life. So it's kind of, you can't miss what you don't have. That's kind of what I told him because I got in prison on April. So I had my brain surgery a month and a week before I got here. That was life happening while I was busy making plans. So, I have an awesome support. So my family, I come from anesthesiologists. My mom's a PhD professor. She has the director of her, at a university, she's the head of her department, sorry. I just get confused a lot, but I haven't had any type of rehabilitation, but I did have a doctor who understood what was going on in here just last week from in here. And he told me I don't have as much PTSD, I have PTBD, and that's post-traumatic brain disorder, because it's like he said, you don't know who to trust, you can't remember what you ate for breakfast, you don't, and then you get put with 1,200 girls. Listen, my actions brought me here, but God put me through that surgery so I could get this. I owe you Iowa State these days, and that's how I see it. I have to pay my bill.
Okay, ma'am, I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, sir.
I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Ms. Vermetto, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us. We say that to everybody, by the way. But this is your hearing. So is there something else that you feel that is important for us to know or understand?
Absolutely not, sir. It's all in black and white. And you guys have a great day, whichever way you go. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Ms. Romero. The board will be going into discussion. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona before we come to our individual votes? So if you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Okay, ma'am?
Okay.
Thank you very much, and thank you for being so pleasant with the board. The board board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is a tragic case. Frankly, I feel for Ms. Romero, having sustained some sort of head injury, and it does seem to be causing her some challenges with functions such as short-term memory, etc. And I certainly feel for her plight. We're still confronted with the fact that she was struggling with methamphetamine or the abuse of methamphetamine and had disappeared from community supervision for 232 days. And I will say, although it sounds like a long time, she's about 4 months out of completing her sentence. And personally, I think she might be better off and safer at this time, completing her time inside Perryville, so that she can have free mobility to return to Colorado at the end of her sentence without any concerns about the interstate compact. Again, something we have no control over, over a request she can make should she be returned to community supervision. But I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Go ahead, Brad, Mr.
Johnson. You know, I agree too. I think that I definitely do sympathize with her, and I do think this is a tragic case for what she's been through in the time that she's been there. But she has no community support or anything here that if she was released, I think it would just be worse for her. But if she takes this 4 months that she has left and work on being able to have the opportunity to go back to Colorado, I think she's in a much safer place and will do much better. She says she has talked to psychologists or doctors since she's been there.
Yeah.
That has told her that she has post-traumatic brain damage. And I think if she has that support system back in Colorado, that she could work on ending, getting that relationship together and being released when she is and go back to Colorado. But I do think that it'll be more detrimental to her to release her at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And again, I'm saying something very similar, and that is it sounds like a bit of a conflict because I know that she will not be free for another 4 months, but I think what she really needs is true freedom of action as she's making her transition back to the community so that she can return to her home state without any roadblocks, if you will. I know that interstate compacts aren't something that happen automatically and require request. She's safe now, and again, I think she might be better off just completing her sentence and having freedom of movement at the end. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion if there's no further discussion. And my motion is based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2017W2983, our discussion with Ms. Romero, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections, I move to revoke community supervision as Ms. Romero was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal razor company, inasmuch that she had ongoing issues of substance abuse, and absconded from supervision for 232 days in which we could not safely monitor her transition back to the community, and that is my motion.
Okay.
Agreed.
Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Mr. Johnson and Mr. Rittenhouse. Okay, Ms. Romero, you heard the discussion. Your supervision has been revoked, and you will be released on or about November 22nd, 2018. And I read a lot of hearings, and I know that when we're in the middle of summer and we mention a date like November, it sounds like a long way away. But I'm telling you, it's about 4 months. We're hoping you'll just stay safe, seek any treatment that's available to you while you're inside the system, and put together a plan for your return to the community with total freedom of movement to go back to Colorado without anything getting in your way. So we do wish you a full recovery and the support of your family, and we hope to not see you again in Orange. So please, again, stay safe. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and thank you for being so pleasant with the board, Ms. Romero. Thank you.
Ms. Romero, would you just lay the phone down, please?
Yes, thank you.
Thanks.
She was very pleasant.